For our first scripture reading, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a chapter of great comfort for God's people, for the saints, and the particular focus is going to be on verses 31 through 39. And where we find in verses 34 and 35 what Christ is doing and the encouragement that we have from knowing that Christ is for us and that we are with Him. So Romans chapter 3, verses 31 through verse 39. That's found on page 1097. Acts chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's as far as we're reading from Romans. Before we read our text, we're going to actually be reading from Acts chapter 1. But before we read from Acts, let's turn in our Psalter hymnals to sing 125. Our blue Psalter hymnals, 125. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. 125 is from Psalm 68. We're going to stand together and sing 125.
Thank you.
turn together in our Bibles. We will be reading from Acts chapter 1. Originally, I had planned to read from Matthew 28, and that's where Jesus says to his disciples, "I will be with you always." It's the promise that Jesus gives that he will remain with his church. But we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, where we read of Christ's resurrection, so his ascension into glory after his resurrection. So we're going to be reading the ascension of Christ. Acts chapter 1, if you're using our Black Pew Bible, that's page 1055. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" As far as reading from Acts, and then like to follow along in the reading of the Catechism, we'll be reading from Lord's Day 18. Lord's Day 18, that's page 24 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnals. We continue to look at the various phrases describing the exaltation of Jesus Christ. As previous months, we looked at his descent into hell, the stair-stepping into the pain and anguish and sorrow, which described his entire life. Now we are stepping up our various stages of his exaltation. So Lord's Day 18 asks us in 46, "What do you mean by saying he ascended into heaven?" And the answer is that Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted up from the earth into heaven and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world, as he promised us? Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth, but in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. If his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? The answer is certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity he has taken on, but at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. And finally, question and answer 49, how does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. And third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing where someone is provides us great comfort. For example, if you know where your loved ones are located, you know where they are safe, where they have arrived, that they are not in immediate danger. As most parents of teenagers deal with when their children have this newfound freedom, the worry of the fact that your children are out on the roads, they're out by themselves, and then the relief of finally seeing them pull into the drive. I remember when I was younger, my mom would always say to me when I'm traveling, "Call when you get there. Let me know that you arrived safe." Knowing that someone has arrived at their destination and that they are safe gives great comfort to those who love them. Well, today we are going to see that Christ, in departing, in leaving his disciples, was not going to let his disciples worry that Christ did not arrive safe, that something happened to him in transit. He is going to let the church know that he arrived safely, that he is doing well. In fact, he continues to send messages, send us words, comfort from where he is in heaven. We look at the continued exaltation of Christ this week, considering his ascension into heaven, that during 40 days, Christ gave many convincing proof, showing himself to the disciples that he indeed has been raised from the dead. Today, we are going to see that not only was Christ physically raised from the dead, that on the third day, not only did he come forth in his body, resurrected in the flesh, he also ascended into glory in the flesh. We confess and we believe that just as he physically died, was physically buried, he physically rose, and is now physically at his Father's right hand in glory. We're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ ascended into glory for our good and comfort. We begin then by reaffirming, by being affirmed in the fact that Christ is physically present in heaven. And I begin with the question, children, can you see God? Can you see God? Well, if you were in heaven, the answer would be yes. You could physically see God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is physically residing, has a physical presence in a literal place, which we call heaven. A few minutes ago, we read from Acts chapter 1, and in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and as Jesus is meeting with his disciples, he's talking with them, and suddenly Jesus is lifted up. He floats up into the skies, and suddenly Christ is hidden from the sight of his disciples. The cloud hides Jesus Christ. And the disciples are standing there looking, wondering what's going on. Where is Jesus? And the two angels appear to calm their fears. Jesus has gone into heaven. While his disciples were looking up, Jesus ascended. This is a historical fact that has witnesses to it. And these witnesses write this account for us so that we would have proof positive that Christ is now in glory. Earlier we read from Romans 8 verse 34 says this, he was raised and is now at the right hand of his Father in glory. When Christ ascended into heaven, it was proof positive that his ministry here upon this earth, his earthly ministry, had been brought to a completion. The real physical flesh of Jesus Christ entered a real place. Now, where is heaven and what is it like? Well, heaven is a real location, but where is it? If you were to get on a spaceship and travel as far as you possibly could, you would never come to a place that you would say, this is heaven. Because heaven is more than just a changing of location. It's not just a change of address. It is also a transition into another world. It is a physical place, an actual place that holds the saints, the deceased saints, the angels. It holds Christ now in his physical body, and it is the place where God's glory dwells in all its richness and fullness. Heaven is a created place, a spiritual realm beyond the stars. It is currently hidden from our sight. We cannot see it, but one day that veil, or that cloud, if you will, that hides it from our sight, will be pulled back, and we will be able to see into heaven as heaven itself comes down. One of the things that the angels wanted to teach the disciples when Jesus ascended into glory was to remind them that Christ's ascension into heaven is not only a historical event, it is a temporary event. He said in 1 verse 11, the angel said, as you saw him go up, he will come back. His ascension into the glorious realms of heaven is a temporary separation between Christ and the earthly church. He ascended until, we read this earlier in 46, that he ascended into heaven and he will be there until he comes back to judge the living and the dead. So Christ is physically present in a place in heaven, and one day he will physically come back from that place. But not only is it a temporary residence, his coming back will be in the same manner in which he went up. The angels said this, in the same way that you saw him go up, he will come back. This is in verse 11. Now, what was the manner in which Jesus went up? Well, Jesus went up into heaven in his flesh. In his resurrected, glorified flesh, human nature, he went up. He also went up blessing his people. The action that Jesus was doing when he went into glory was his hands were raised. He was blessing his people. He was pronouncing a benediction upon them. In heaven, Christ continues, we're going to see this in a few minutes, Christ continues his benediction, his blessing of his people, and when he comes back, he will be doing the same thing. He will come back blessing his people. All this proves to us that his residing in heaven is a certain historical fact, a reality, but it proves the necessity for his return. So we begin by asserting that Jesus is not now physically present on earth. He is physically present with his Father in the glory of the highest heavens. But this teaching, this truth that we find in Acts chapter 1, leaves us with a problem. Earlier I referenced the end of Matthew 28, where Jesus said to his disciples, the Great Commission, I will be with you always. And now we come to Acts chapter 1, Jesus is not here. So which one is it? How do we answer the question? Is Jesus here or is he absent? Is he with us or is he away from us? Well, in order to answer this question, we find that the Catechism presents us the teaching about the two natures of Jesus Christ. He is, in question and answer 47, very God or true God and true man. Although Jesus is not now with us physically in his human glorified nature, that does not mean that he is absent from us. Well, if he is not with us physically, how is he with us? Well, he is with us, it says, 47, by his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit. Perhaps a way of understanding this a distinction, how Christ is with us, is in our celebration of the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say that Jesus is not physically present with us by way of the bread and the wine. Now, the bread and the wine are not transformed. It's not changed into Jesus' physical presence. However, that does not mean that Jesus is not present with us. He is surely, indeed, he is with us at the Lord's table. But how? He is present with us by way of the Holy Spirit. So it is when we understand that Jesus Christ, his added benefit of the Holy Spirit is that it takes the presence of Christ to be with us so that Jesus can say sincerely, truthfully, I am with you by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ that dwells in and with the church. So then Christ can say, the church will never be absent of me, will never be apart from me. He is always near us. Our faith is in a living Savior who lives in us by way of the Holy Spirit. Well, now that we understand where Christ is, that he is physically in heaven but spiritually present with us, we go on to consider what is Christ doing? What is Christ doing today? Did his work cease when he ascended into heaven? Did he ascend into heaven to close the book, saying, now my chapter is finished. Now it's time for someone else to do the work necessary for the church. Well, when Christ finished his work on the earth, finishing his work as a suffering and atoning sacrifice, that did not mean that he finished all of the work that he is called to perform. He is our prophet, priest, and king, and remains our prophet, priest, and king for all eternity. What is Christ currently doing in glory? Well, the first thing Christ is doing in glory is he is preparing a place for us. John chapter 14 says this, I am leaving. His disciples are distraught. Where are you going? Jesus said, you know the place that I'm going. The disciples say, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Jesus says, you know the way because I am the way. And I'm going into heaven to do something. I go before you to prepare a place for you. Different translations say, I'm building a mansion for you or a home for you or a room for you. The point of the teaching is Jesus is building a residence, a place where we can dwell. That's what Jesus is doing currently in glory. He is getting heaven ready for the arrival of his people. He prepares heaven for us to make rooms ready when the citizens are arriving. But not only is Jesus working in heaven to prepare a place for us, he is also working currently today within us. He is working in our hearts, and he is working for us. Earlier we read from Romans 8, verse 34, and that says Jesus is interceding for us. Now, the work of the intercessor is one who is praying on behalf and before, even securing blessings for those who need them. Question answer 49 says this, first of all, Christ is pleading our cause. So we can think of it this way. When Satan arises, when Satan brings up some accusation against Christ's people, against the church, Jesus defends us. He intercedes for us. And he, Jesus Christ, secures our good. But not only does Jesus continue to his work in heaven by interceding for us, he is working within us by way of the Holy Spirit. We could say it this way. Jesus is preparing heaven for us, and he is preparing us for heaven. By way of the Holy Spirit, we are being sanctified. We are being made holy. He is molding us, shaping us in his image. So that the longer we live as Christians, we begin to look, to act, even to think more and more like Christ. His image is being impressed upon us. This is some of the work that we call sanctification. It's as if Jesus continues to make it known upon the earth that we are to represent him and will one day look completely like him. You see, on the day of Pentecost, it's almost as if Jesus was sending a letter to the church. It's as if when Jesus ascended into heaven, the church is left asking, Jesus, where are you? Are you really caring for us? Are you still working for us? Are you concerned about us? Have you left us alone? Are we forgotten? Are we forsaken? What about the comfort that you have promised? But after Jesus arrived safely in glory, he sends a letter, a message to the church by way of on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus saying, I have arrived. I am safe. I am well. I am still working for you. And you will receive the comfort of my Spirit. So Jesus pours out his Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost. And by the way of the Spirit's continued work, not only do we have the sanctifying of the church, we also have the equipping of the church. Ephesians 4 says that by way of the Spirit, we are equipped, trained, and preserved. We are being, that he gives particularly pastors and teachers so that the saints might be equipped for the work of ministry. Jesus Christ continues his work within the church by calling up men to be faithful leaders, and then he speaks to and through those men to bring the gospel, to bring the message of good news, so that he continues to gather, to protect and preserve his church. So to summarize this point, we could say, what is Jesus doing in heaven? He is getting heaven ready for us, and he's building the church on earth. He's gathering his sheep. He's calling, he's sanctifying, he's strengthening. And one day Christ will come back so that we might be one just as he is one with the Father and the Spirit. He is in us, and we live in him. You see, Jesus needed to ascend into glory. He needed to ascend so that he could send the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed to be rewarded. He needed to be rewarded for the work that he had faithfully completed. He needed to be exalted, as we're going to see in the next few weeks. So we have to first recognize that Christ needs to be living, that his work needs to continue before we can receive the benefit. So as we come to our last point, we find that after acknowledging that Christ, where Christ is, we have now seen what he is doing, and now we get the payout, the comfort. How does this benefit us? How are we better off having Christ in heaven than when Christ was on the earth? Now, this might be a difficult concept for some of our children to understand, to grasp, because when we think, wouldn't it be better to have Jesus on the earth? Wouldn't it be better if we could travel to the Middle East? I mean, we could have a church-wide function. We'd all travel to Jerusalem. We'd meet Jesus Christ. We'd be able to see him teaching on the hills by the Sea of Galilee. We'd see him breaking bread, and we'd see him raising the dead. Wouldn't that be better if we could actually meet and greet Jesus in the flesh on earth today? And the resounding answer given in Scripture is no. We are actually better off today, post-Pentecost, after Pentecost, than in the interim when Christ was resurrected and not yet fully glorified. Indeed, Jesus said to Mary in John chapter 20, Mary, don't cling to me, don't grasp my feet here, because I have yet to ascend. The fact that we cannot see Jesus Christ presents us with a challenge, because we need to live by faith. And that's how Christ has chosen to build the church, is by faith in that which we cannot see with our physical eyes. We need to believe the content of the word, the message of the gospel. We need to trust, to believe, to rely on that which we now do not see with our earthly eyes. But that does not mean we are without benefits and blessings. Because when Jesus was on earth, he was limited to being physically present in one place at one time. But now, he is present within the church as a whole, at all times, in every place. The presence of Jesus Christ is now experienced and felt in the hearts and lives of every single Christian in an added, fuller measure after Pentecost. That's the first benefit. The second benefit is that we now have Jesus Christ in heaven at the Father's right hand. Heaven is the true temple. Heaven is the Father's very courtroom. And when it comes to securing gifts, could we ask for a closer representation, a closer proximity to the fount and source of every good and perfect gift than Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand? His ascension into glory puts Jesus in a prime position in which we are really, fully, truly benefited. When he ascended, the intercessor entered the heavenly temple to serve within that function as a perfect prophet, priest, and king, praying for his people, entering the Holy of Holies by way of his blood, proving to all creation that the sacrifice had been made, was accepted, the payment made in full. Our life is now hidden in Christ, and we are in him and he with us, Colossians 3 says, so that Romans 8 might remind us and assure us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. The benefits are outlined for us in question and answer 49. Very briefly, we find that there are three chief benefits given to us. The first is Christ is in heaven. He's interceding for us. He is praying earnestly for us. The benefits we have in prayer is that when we pray, we come to the Father in the name of the Son. And the Son is mingling His prayers with us, with ours, so that they are heard, they are answered, they are acceptable, that they will be heard, and what we need will be given. We have a direct link because of what Jesus Christ is doing and how we benefit with our prayers. The second is that we have our own flesh in heaven, which is a guarantee that Christ our head will take us as His members to heaven to Himself in heaven. It is a guarantee of our future exaltation, a promise that we will be with Him one day. Because He shares our flesh, our human nature is right now in heaven with the Father. And one day, not only will we, after we die, be with God in the soul, in the spirit, but it is a guarantee that one day we will physically be with God in the New Jerusalem for all eternity. That is a guarantee because Jesus Christ was physically raised and ascended into glory to be with the Father. And the third benefit is that the ascension paves the way for the sending of the Holy Spirit. Third, the Catechism, question answer 49 says, He, by His Spirit, which He sends to us on earth, is a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. So the third benefit is that we are guaranteed sanctification. That the Spirit who Christ sends into the church comforts the church, instructs the church, guides the church, teaches the church, and sanctifies the church, so that the Spirit dwelling within us, we begin to set our hearts, our minds on things above, seeking first the kingdom of God. His work leads to our benefit. There's a direct link between our second point and third point in this sermon. Because He lives, we have eternal benefits and blessings. We can pray with confidence because Christ has gone before us, opening the way. We can pray with boldness because Christ ever lives to be our intercessor, mediator, our friend. His ascension means that we are now in heaven with Christ. He is our head. We are with Him. We are His body. We are in heaven with Christ. And He is with us by His Spirit, dwelling within the church today. To conclude, today we see that the residence where Christ is leads us to understand the benefits that we have because Christ lives and lives in heaven. Although Jesus is not now physically present on the earth, He is never absent, nor is He far away. Wherever you go around this world, to the other side of the globe, or right next door, wherever you go, Christ goes with you because He is in you by way of the Holy Spirit. You never have to send a telegraph or a phone call or an email to someone who is living in the Middle East to wait for a response from Jesus Christ. Jesus, what do you have to say about this? How are you comforting me now? Rather, Jesus sends His Spirit so that we all might have the Word and comfort in our hearts every day. Yes, that means we have to live by faith. But that's how God has seen to gather His church, that they would live by faith. Since He continues to live, we can have the comfort of knowing that the church must, will be gathered, protected, and defended, and one day united with Christ, ascended and glorified. Praise God that Jesus Christ rose and ascended, and is right now, Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand. Let us come to Him, praising Him where He is, at the Father's right hand, and giving thanks for His continued work within the church. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the comfort that we can come to you through our living Savior who is at your right hand. We thank you for Jesus' continued work, and we look forward, O Lord, to the day when we will enjoy in this flesh, in this body, what Christ is now enjoying in his flesh, in his body. We look forward to the day when we will be physically resurrected and glorified to be like our Christ. We thank you for the Spirit who dwells in our hearts and for the union and communion that we have with Christ today. We pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.